Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We are Baltimore Positive, getting you ready for football this week. We're watching a lot of playoff baseball, although we're not involved in any of that. We had some words about the press conference on Monday as well. Luke Jones is out in Owings Mills doing all things Ravens, getting ready for the infirmary report on a daily basis here this week as we get the WNST Tech Service brought to you by Cole Roofing and Gordian Energy. Any breaking news on any of these injuries? Obviously, Matabike is not coming back. Roquan Smith won't play this week. Marlon Humphrey as well. On Wednesday, we're going to be down at Fadley's eating crab cakes. It's all courtesy of our friends at the Maryland Lottery. I'll have some Raven scratch-offs to give away. And after the game on Monday, we are at Costas and Timonium in the afternoon. Hopefully, we get a good news final. I wore my State Fair shirt for this guy because it's got the Maryland flag in it. He is a Marylander, but you think of him as a Charger, maybe more than that. But once or twice a year, he comes back here, does his thing at College Park. He is the king of lights out. He's now doing mixed martial arts and promoting fights out in the California area and out in the on the West Coast. But he always flies in here. And, you know, I was out in El Segundo last week, Sean Merriman, and I was driving through just to get a taco at Rubio's and to go to the airport. And I look up. My God, the Chargers have landed in El Segundo. I forgot all about it. I text Jim Harbaugh and Joe Ortiz, and I'm like, I guess for this point in the season, you're either healthy or you're not. You're coming or you're going, but we got a little bit of a body of work to talk about here. I'll get some Chargers in, but boy, this Ravens thing here, it's the biggest story, I think, in the league right now is what's happened to the Ravens the first month, Sean.
It is. I mean, it's one of those situations where what could go wrong have gone wrong, right? From top to bottom. And I think, you know, just looking at them early on during the season, there were signs, and especially on the defense side of the ball. Now, I know that John Harbaugh came out and said, hey, you know, they're not worrying about the defense. The defense is going to play great this year. But I think that anybody that knows football and watching the games knew that they wasn't going to be okay.
Pass rush. I mean, your specialty. You got no pass rush.
You don't have a pass rush. It just opens up so many other things on your defense, and they've been literally getting no pressure. And it's reflected because the DBs now aren't looking as good because now, you know, the ball is being held. They got to cover longer, and it's just a domino effect. And, you know, I hate to be negative Nancy. I'm the total opposite of a negative Nancy, but it's time to hit the panic button right now because it's early during the season. But if this keeps going on, just a couple more games, they may be out of it early, and that's the issue they're facing.
Well, and then the injuries, right? I mean, and you've been on teams where, and you've been injured, you know, I mean, you know what this is all about. Trying to get on the field this week when you know you might not be on. I mean, Ronnie Stanley tried last week, two series out, and Roquan, just what happened with Matabike is really scary, right? Like, nobody's talking about that neck injury and all of that. I think for all of you who played the game, that's the nightmare for you, your family, for everyone. Zach Orr's coaching the defense right now because of what happened to him. From a gambling perspective or a fan perspective or whatever, but from a player having it taken away from him in his prime right now, this is a really concerning time, I think, for everybody in the building about a really key player in Matabike.
No doubt. And when you talk about injuries like a neck injury, those things can linger on the rest of your career. That's not one of these things that that heals up and it's 100%. Those things are never 100%. It's just never. Now you can get back to being in a good place, but you always worry about that thing being a problem, even if he does make it back on the field. And then two, you got to think life after football. You got to think life after football because when you're talking about those type of injuries, those can be damaging for the remainder of your life. And I try to remind a lot of these guys, There is life after football. There is things that you have to do. You got a family. You have daily activities. And, you know,
Was that hard for you as a player in the middle saying, damn it, I'm playing. I'm not thinking about when I'm 45. I got to play this week, right? That's the warrior mentality, right?
It's the absolute hardest. And I'll take it a step further. I mean, you take Staley, who came out there and played two series. Football is the only sport that you can have a guy walking around in the boot or crushes or damn near get pushed around in a wheelchair all week and somehow, some way playing the game. It is a different kind of beast where you get out there, you start warming up, you start getting those feels, the fans, and you give it a go. And you know you can't. You know your body is telling you that you can't go, but somehow, some way you make it out there anyway. So when I saw him, Staley, coming out after the second series, I said, you know what that was? That was the adrenaline. That was a football player warrior mentality saying that I'm going to give this thing a go. And that's the scary thing about dealing with us because we can push ourselves far past limits than a normal person.
Well, then there's the other part of Sean Merriman or somebody like you who's on the other side licking your chops and you're healthy and he's not. And exploiting that, that's what the game is, right? I mean, look,
It's
not.
it's 100 part, and I don't want it to sound sinister, right? You don't want it to sound sinister where it's like, oh, I'm licking my chops because this guy's injured. But that's part of the game plan. If you know a guy is injured and he can't do certain things, you want to test that out, see if he can. And once you realize he can't, then that's when you kind of start slamming on the gas a bit. And it's just part of the game plan. Every coach, every player does it.
All right, well, Sean Merriman's here. He a terp, as always. Tell me what you're up to with your mixed martial arts, and you were on Fubo, but you're on your Lights Out Network. Update me. It's been about a year since I've had you on.
Now we're growing, man. We just had a big fight down in Long Beach, Lights Out Extreme Fight 27 2 Saturdays ago, and it was our biggest show we've ever had. We had a guy that's in the works of going to the UFC right now as we speak, and we got a couple more that the UFC's looking at. We're on my network, Lights Out Sports TV, but we are launching on UFC Fight Pass here in the next few weeks or so. We're the fastest growing in the country, and it's good because for one, I love the damn sport. All these years we've been talking about it, it's just my excitement for it has grown. We have a lot of tech now that we're including chips in the gloves, AI advertisement on the mat. It's just so many things that's happening in this sport. And we look to be a game changer. Lights Out Extreme Fighting 28 is coming up November 1st. It'll be in Long Beach, California again. You guys download Lights Out Sports TV. By the way, we've got a ton of free live sports there. And I'm going to make a college football announcement of some rights that I just in the process of acquiring to add more football to the platform.
Well, I was a week out in Palos Verdes and going down through Long Beach on my way to Huntington through Seal Beach and Sunset Beach. I love that part of the world down there. My wife had never been down there, so I took her down and we went through the industrial part of Long Beach and she had never seen it. She's like, "Oh my God, look at this." You know, California's got all sorts of things. Sean Merriman's after. So are you enjoying the fact that the Chargers not left San Diego, but that they've made a home here? It was a little weird pulling into El Segundo and just seeing all the powder blue, and it's become a Chargers. The South Bay is owned by the Chargers, huh?
And it took a little bit, but they settled in well. I mean, it was a struggle with the fan base, right? You had a 50-50 crowd of it. San Diego fans just wasn't receptive of it and saying, hey, I can't support the team, which I completely understand if you're a San Diegan. But they have grown in the city of LA because they just got massive superstars. And Justin Herbert it has come on and Khalil Mack and Derwin James, and when you have superstars of that caliber, you're going to start to gain the fan base, and that's what they've done. They've done a great job of that over the last couple of years.
Well, you talked about injuries and what you said was the adrenaline hit you. Where are you on Lamar playing with a hamstring? That's his superpower, is, you know, that's his special strength, is being able to run. You take that away from him, I got to think defenders know that, and you'll feel that, and you'll test that nice and early if Cooper Rush is not playing. But playing Lamar injured at 1-3, you don't want to wake up 1-4. You don't want to wake up 1-4 without Lamar, but you don't want to wake up 1-4 or even 2-4 and not have Lamar, right? So this is the weirdest time of the year to say, I'm out, I can't play Roquan Smith, and maybe I'll get back in 3, 4, 6 weeks. We have a bye in 2 weeks. But this is tough circumstance for the franchise right now, given the record, given the opponent, and given where they are with Lamar, in that you don't want to sit him, but you don't want to get him hurt more.
Well, I always say this when it comes to hamstrings. Whenever it feels good, take one more week, right? Because it's the only injury that you actually have to go out there and test it out. And you don't test it out until you get into a full open sprint, and then you can tell. You walking around, you feel fine. Jogging around, cutting, you feel fine. Until someone's chasing behind you, and you need to open up and really, really press off of that thing. So whenever you feel good, especially for Lamar Jackson, take one more week.
That sounds like a long time from now. Sean Merriman is here. How about those Terps, huh? I mean, I gotta throw that in here before it's all over. Hey, not often I bring you on and we talk about coach drives and this and that. Sometimes the basketball team. Hey, man, puff out your chest with your alum thing going on right now. They got a quarterback, huh?
I spent a lot of time with Coach Locksley during the offseason before the season started. I was out there quite a bit. And I can just see his excitement in the team. And he was talking a little different than he has been in the past. And I didn't quite understand what they had on the plate, especially in Malik Washington. And for them to make the decision to throw him in the fire early because they knew he was ready was so smart on many different fronts because he's your guy going forward. So even if he did have some struggles early on, he at least can work that out and get accustomed to being on the field. And let me tell you, that win against Wisconsin was it was a stamp of this is a new team because that team wouldn't have beat Wisconsin a couple of years ago. They wouldn't have. And the biggest question was, yeah, you can go out and stump some of these smaller teams and look good, but you can't beat the teams in the Big Ten. And that was always their problem. This is a new team, and to have a leader like Malik Washington leading that team for the next 4 years or 3 years, depending on how he's.
I was going to say, stop with all of that, man. You better start signing these guys to 4-year contracts because Alabama's going to come with money. Teams that are no good, everybody's going to come with money. And I think that's Locksley's nightmare. And that's something that I look, man, 2 years ago when all this started, I remember watching a preseason game with the Ravens. And the Terps had clearly spent money to advertise, buy tickets and all that, right? It's preseason football. I'm the only one watching it. Nobody's watching it. But they did like a second half cutaway, and they had three kids in Terps jerseys without pads on the sideline. And I think Evan Washburn's down there interviewing Locksley. And Locksley, who I've known forever as well, I swabbed him for the bone marrow. I love Locks. But it sounded like Freddie Blassie in the WWE. These are my guys. We're paying them top dollar. He was saying, and I'm like, Coach, you can't talk like that. And I'm thinking, we're in a whole different level now of the first thing the coaches are thinking, can I afford it? Can Uncle Kevin and Uncle Steve, maybe Uncle Sean, write part of the check? But we're in a different world where if you think you have him for 4 years, that's cocky of you to think that, Sean, because
Boy,
I.
I think with a guy like Malik Washington, you would lose him to the NFL before you lose him to another team, my opinion. I just think that, he's one of the Locks guys. Very, very few people leave when you're one of the Locks guys. And then also on the other side of that thing, I think that whatever needs to be done will be done. If it's not by Kevin Plank, it'll be done by me.
You made some money. I don't know if you made enough to afford quarterbacks in the NIL, Sean,
Well, things are moving well in my life. And so and it is about winning, and that always will be a home for me. That's we be home. So we'll do what we need to do. But I don't think that's a big worry. I think that the biggest worry for him will be losing him to the NFL before another college.
No, biggest worry is beating Penn State and Ohio State. Just down the line, all the big boys are coming up. Sean Merriman is here. He is out in California. He's putting on fights in MMA. Before I even get back to football or even back to the Terps, Dana White, UFC, 60 Minutes, the clown running the country, putting fights on in the White House, which I am fully against, just FYI. But watching the sport and watching, a creepy politician who should be under a jail, promote your sport and put it out in front of everyone. And then 60 Minutes, whether they're not investigating the president, instead promoting fights. I didn't watch the piece the other night. How did you feel about the piece? And how are you feeling about all of this push to places like me? I will not watch it. I do not want to watch anything more barbaric. I don't want to watch guys beat the shit out of each other. I just don't. It's not entertaining to me. I'll promote it for you, but it's not my thing. But the 60 Minutes part of it and how legitimate it's become. And I go back to bringing John Rollo in here. I mean, Johnny and I played Little League football, Little League baseball together. So, Johnny was Shogun. I've known John my whole life while he was trying to get it legal. They're putting it on in Atlantic City. They're putting it on in Vegas. Dana White has been a figure for 2 decades in my world through John Rollo and through Joe Rogan and through all of that. It is amazing how it's become, I don't even say a fourth sport. I think it's ahead of hockey. It's certainly ahead of boxing, ahead of a lot of things. The 60 Minutes piece for Dana White and what Trump has done, it's a little bit of an out party for your game, right?
Look, I think it's two ways you got to look at this thing, and I've known Dana for about 15 years or so. And like him or love him, or hate him or can't stand him, he's always been the same. And I can truly say that he doesn't care. He's one of those people that it he when you say things to the public and say, oh, well, I don't care, I don't care. Some people just say that just to kind of get people off their back. He really doesn't care. I think that the way the sport is going, the fans really respond to the sport, and how it's become so global because they can relate to some of these things. Some of these guys come from nothing, and boxing has taken this thing where they're picking and choosing matches. You know, the matches are mismatched. Guys aren't fighting when they're supposed to fight.
Well, that's been going on forever. You're ducking me, right?
You're ducking me. Yeah, and they're kind of setting up guys for a win until they get their big payday. And I think the MMA has been, at least the last 15 years or so, the best is fighting the best. The number one guy is fighting the number three guy. Number three guy is fighting number six guy. There's not a number three guy fighting a 23rd guy, right? It's just that's what's grown the sport, because the fans got tired of boxing, of these mismatches, and guys, in a sense, ducking the best competition. Now, Dana has got back into boxing with Zuffa. And I think he's going to attempt to close the gap, but I think that the fans have spoken. And I wish him success in boxing with Turkey, and what they did with Terence Crawford and Canelo was massive. But I think that they let boxing slip too long, where the best isn't fighting the best, and it's kind of lost viewers. I don't think it'll ever catch back up to MMA. And I'm coming from my uncles were professional boxers. I grew up in PG County around tons of boxers. I remember Riddick Bowe coming down to my neighborhood when I was growing up. I've always been a boxing fan. I just think they went too long without evening out the competition, and MMA has just surpassed them in a way where it's too global, that in boxing would just not be able to catch up.
Well, I watch boxing. I was far from anti-boxing. My father was Sugar Ray and Ali, and just all Tyson all the way through. Do guys still want to box? It feels to me like if you're a young person and you want to be physical, you play football. There's a lot of things. Rugby. You can just train. There's a million things you can do. But the boxing part, it just feels like if you're in that space, the money's in UFC, the glory's in UFC, the mixed martial arts. Just in a general sense, have you seen guys who are mixed martial arts say, "I'm going to go box to be a little safer for my head"? Because there is life after MMA as well, right? We talked about that in the football side, getting hit in the head, and getting bloodied, and just the trauma. Just in a general sense, that concerns me for everyone involved in the sport, as it concerned Howard Cosell with Tex Cobb in 1982, right? But I don't know who boxes anymore. And that's when I saw the Canelo fight, I'm like, yeah, fine. And people will pay for it. And it's big in the Hispanic community, of which I'm one. But like, I don't know that it's global. And it feels like Dana, what mixed martial arts is, it's just transcended. It's like it's gone.
And I'll say this, some of your best heavyweight and light heavyweight champions potentially could be somebody playing in Alabama or Florida State, right? It's one of those things where football and these other sports have kind of taken away from, when's the last great heavyweight, right? The great heavyweight in boxing. There was a guy that people don't talk about as much. He played at Gwinn Park. His name is Seth Mitchell. Played linebacker Michigan State. And he was like 25, 26, and old boxer that kind of transitioned, he had a bad knee injury from football, and then went over to boxing and actually had some success. And so again, you take a young Seth Mitchell that is healthy, or young Sean Merriman, and say, you know what? I don't know if football is really the thing. I would have been in combat sports a long time ago if the opportunity and money was there. The money's there now, where I don't have to fight in the backyard for scraps. Because remember, some of these guys just coming off of the street, where that's their only way out, and that's not the case anymore. It's become such a global sport. There's a real future, real financial gain in this combat sports space, and I think we will start to see over time more of that potentially football slash crossover to combat sports. It's coming. It's on the way.
Sean Merriman is here. Last thing for you. My wife was asking me about you. I said, Sean Merriman's, oh, what's he do? I said, oh, he's in mixed martial arts. And I said, it's kind of like a little bit of a minor league feeder system for UFC, right? And tell everybody about your promotion, just in a general sense, if they're unfamiliar with Lights Out. And you got in it, you love it, obviously. And young people, Southern California, West Coast, I guess you have a gym, you're training guys, you're trying to make good, fair, quote unquote, minor league fights to move guys up along and teach them the sport and the art of the sport, right?
Yeah, I think that we have the next up and coming stars, right? And a lot of these guys get to the UFC, but they're building their names, but way before they get to the UFC. And by the time they get to the UFC, they've already got a following. A lot of those guys start out with us. We've become one of the fastest growing in the country, where we just had, in the last 2 months, we had four of our guys fighting the UFC over the last 2 months. That's the kind of traction that we have right now. If you're fighting in Lights Out Extreme, fighting, you become a champion. You're going to get a chance to fight in the UFC. We got a guy, Chris Al Al Alderez, fighting in Dana White's Contender Series this week, who fought for us just a few months ago. Again, we have the next up and coming stars of the sport. We want to continue to build on that, but also build other verticals in tech and content, tell these stories about these upcoming fighters. And that's what's most important to me, because everybody got a story. And I think there's a lot of relatable things that people will understand.
Got to make him care. Got to make him care, right? Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Sean Merriman is here. He played a long time in the National Football League. He's also a Terp. When's your big night? I got some coats in my closet. I know you want my coats. I know you want them.
I'm waiting on the date now, but we want to do it again Veterans Day. I like doing it around that time. We always had the military involved, now the homeless families of the military always try to do something around this. Just waiting on dates. And also woman man AJ Francis is going to do us canned food and things like that, man. So I'm really, really proud of him for taking that step up and giving back to the school and a lot of people that need help. But we're looking around Veterans Day again.
Well, you can get back here to a good football team, hopefully a good basketball team this year. You never know. Talking about keeping football players around, keeping basketball players around is harder, right?
And I just saw they had a couple of big commits in basketball, I think a few days ago as well, man. So I think they're going to be good for the future as well.
Well, he did a great job last year, and at least you have a coach that wants to be here and not at Villanova. So that, at least that's going on. At your Chargers, anything on that? I mean, just when the maybe I went to El Segundo the wrong week because the things would turn sour after I was there. But certainly the buzz about the Chargers and the buzz about Justin Herbert, you mentioned his star power. He certainly looks capable of winning a Super Bowl.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And I think they had a mishap, last week, and against the Giants, and we talk about injuries, right? You got the Slater who's down, Rashawn Slater who's down, Joe Alt went down with a high ankle sprain. So now you got these young pass rushers of the Giants who are just getting after Justin Herbert, who really that was a key point of that game. They just couldn't block for him. This is the time of the year where you're injured or not, and you're playing or not. And guys got to figure out the way to get over that hump while you got some injuries going on, and that's going to be a really big deal.
You can follow all that Sean Merriman is doing at lightsoutxf.com. There are fights up there, stories up there. You can reach out and say hello to Sean if you wish to. I always appreciate having you on. Please come back and visit again when you're doing the coats. I hope that you'll come back and visit for a Chargers Ravens playoff game in January. On our end right now, I'm crossing my fingers just trying to get through Houston this week. It's always good to visit with you. Anything that'll leave anything out, just go out to the website, see what you're doing. Simple as that, right?
Oh, that's it, man. We just, I appreciate all the support. And, I'm looking at some point in time bringing the fights back there to on the East Coast and, on the University of Maryland campus. Who knows?
Maryland, we're all behind you. There we go. All right. Sean Merriman is here, longtime Charger. He's always a Terp, and we're always getting ready for football. Luke's out. Knowing Smell's getting ready for the Ravens game this week. It is an infirmary report, unlike anything I've seen here in a long, long time. Lamar Jackson, Ronnie Stanley, Roquan Smith, Nnamdi Matabike, Marlon Humphrey, Nate Wiggins. Who knows? I know the Texans are coming, and they better be ready to play football at 1 o'clock on Sunday. I am Nestor. We are WNSD, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking. Baltimore positive.